Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. There's five words, a sentence that is five words long that we're going to look at and rejoice over. And hopefully let these five words touch our lives and change our lives in this morning's service. Philippians chapter number 4. Let's begin reading at verse number 4. And we'll read down through verse number 7. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4 through verse number 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you look at the last five words of verse number 5, this sentence, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Heavenly Father, thank you for these thoughts and all that this portion contains. But Lord, thank you also for this five-word declaration. I pray, dear God, that we'd never forget it after this morning. I pray we'd be reminded again and again throughout our lives by your sweet Holy Spirit that brings to our memory the things that we need as we need them. The Lord is at hand. Help this preacher preach, Lord. May God's people listen. If there's one here without Christ, may they fall under conviction. May they be overwhelmed by the love of God and the grace of God. And Lord, I pray, dear God, they'd become a child of God so that they can say, along with us, the Lord is at hand. Bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. For several reasons that the book of Philippians has become more precious to me during this year, our church's theme for the year came out of the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter number 2, and if you'll flip over there in verse number 15, is our theme verse for the year. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And so our church's theme came out of the book of Philippians. Also, we asked the young people, challenged the young people in our Christian school to memorize the entire book of Philippians during the school year. And without fail, every single one of them memorized chapter 1 and said it by memory, then chapter 2, said it by memory, chapter 3, said it by memory, and then chapter 4 and said it by memory. Several of them at the end of the year took on the added challenge of being able to say the entire book in one day's time or in 2 days' time as I became more grandpa-ish and more lenient. Towards the end, and what a blessing that was to see those young people accomplish that. I asked the young people on our missions trip, I said, and I do this, when I go to a camp for a week, I pick a book. If we go on vacation, I pick a book. Anytime I do something a little bit out of the ordinary, I ask God to just give me one book of the Bible, and during that entire time, I just feast on it. And I said to our group, I said, let's make the book of Philippians the book of choice and the book for our group. And let's spend our devotional time in it, our private Bible time. And then every morning on the bus, we'd get on the bus. And as soon as we got on the road, we would sing our theme song and other songs. And then I want to again thank the four young men that would come up one at a time. And they would read, one of the young men read Philippians chapter 1. The second would read Philippians chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. And so we read together the entire book of Philippians every morning as we got on the road together to have our devotions. And then I would pull some verses out of Philippians and challenge the young people for the day. A verse that I never got to, but God just made real to me during our trip, and especially in the last several days, is this little thought here, this little phrase, this declaration by Almighty God, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Say, preacher, what does that mean? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You see, this little phrase, the Lord is at hand, has three distinct yet interrelated meanings. If you do an in-depth study of the room, of the phrase, there are the words. It has three distinct yet interrelated meanings. Let me give them to you an introduction. The Lord, number one, the Lord is always near. The Lord is always near. And folks, that's a comfort. That's a blessing. Maybe that's why a couple of verses later we can read this, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord is always near. He's near, folks. He's here. He's here and he's near. By the way, I hope he's dear to you today. Number two, the Lord is always in control. If you look at that word that's interpreted there and translated, is at hand. It's a good translation. Of course, it's an accurate translation. It was preserved by God. But God uses the word hand there on purpose, because not only is the Lord near, but the Lord is in control. That word, that little phrase at hand, means to have a grip on or a firm grasp upon. So not only is God here, but he's got a firm grip and a firm grasp upon everything that is happening, not just here in this church, but in this world. You can read the headlines, and if you want to, you can panic and you can fall into despair, but I've got good news for you. God is here and God is near, and God's got a firm grip on and grasp on every single thing that's happening. You know what? He hasn't lost control of anything. And so the Lord is at hand. The third meaning concerns the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's return is imminent. So the Lord is always near. The Lord is always in control. And at any moment, we might be taken from this place and brought into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. The Lord's return is imminent. So all three of those come with this little phrase. Now that ought to help us. Because of this threefold truth, because of the biblical fact that the Lord is at hand, this truth should change the way we view our lives as Christians. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He is near. He is in control. We might very well today look into his face. That's what it's telling us. He's near. He's here. He's in control. We might very well today look into his face. Because of these truths, we should be careful to obey the admonishment surrounding this five-word reminder. Now, it's very interesting. Let's take a step back from that one sentence and let's look into the context of it. Verse number four. I believe there's three commands that are given to us that are connected to the fact that the Lord is at hand. The first one is found in verse number four. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, why should I rejoice? Because the Lord is near, because the Lord is always in control, and because the Lord's return is imminent. That's good reasons to rejoice. Second command is found in verse number five. Let your moderation be known unto all men. We're going to talk about that. The admonition, or the third command, is found in verse number six. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, don't lose me here. Watch this. The Lord is always near. The Lord is always in control. And the Lord's return is imminent. And because of that, there's three commands that God has given us. Let us always rejoice. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Let us exercise restraint. That's what moderation is. We'll talk about that. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Let us share our requests with him. Why? Because he's at hand. He wants us to pray. He wants us to share our requests. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Well, what will happen if we do these three things? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm here to remind you, church, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Now let's just have fun with this morning, all right? I'm going to have fun. Have fun with me. And if not, just fake it and act like you're having fun. The Lord is at hand. Here it is. Here's the three points. Here it is. The Lord is at hand, so let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I love this. I'm going to give you a verse.
you want to just have a verse to kind of hang on to this week, Psalm 16:8. You want to turn over there real quick, Psalm 16:8. You want to underline that or draw arrow to it. I read this verse in connection with this thought, and I read it this morning, to be honest with you. And I reloaded my notes on the computer and added a few things, made the sermon a little longer. Sorry, read my Bible this morning, got a little excited. Psalm 16:8. I love this. Watch this, folks. The Lord is at hand. He's near. He's in control. His return could be today. So let's rejoice today. Let's rejoice. I like this. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Watch this. Because he is at my, where is he? He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I wish you'd get a hold of that. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We left Indiana several days ago, a week ago Thursday. And in Indiana, I reached out with my right hand. And guess what? The Lord was right there. We left free America and drove into communist Illinois. And I reached over. And guess what? There was God present there. He was right at my right hand. We went through Missouri and the beautiful state of Missouri and crossed the Mississippi River and across that beautiful state. And several times I reached over. And guess what? The Lord was at my right hand. Folks, are you listening to me? We got into Kansas and we drove. And as we drove, Kansas stretched and it stretched and it stretched. And all through Kansas, I would reach over and guess what? The Lord is at hand. He was at my right hand. We got into Colorado and we made it into past Denver. And when we stopped at Idaho Springs, because the preacher had a brilliant idea to take these kids out whitewater rafting. And I didn't realize that this was the time of the year when the water was the highest. I didn't realize that we would be put into water that they told me, were telling me that 8 hours earlier were snow as it was melting off the mountain and coming down and swelling the creeks. We stood there on the edge of that and I reached out and I said, Lord, you better be at hand here. I watched them put all the gear on us and then on the way tell us of all the different ways that we could die and all of the things that probably are going to happen to us and the way to try to save yourself and each other when the boat flips over and collapses. And I reached over looking for the Lord, and the Lord was at hand. I got into a boat, me and my wife, with three junior high girls, God help me. And I said, Lord, you better be in this boat. I need you right now. The Lord is at hand. And we went down that river and we had the time of our lives. And guess what? God was right there with us. We left Colorado and drove through the beautiful state of Utah. And boy, there's not enough said about Utah. And that the drive we had as we slanted down through there and we saw the creation of God. And folks, listen to me. I didn't even have to reach out. God was everywhere. There were reminders and evidence and fingerprints of our Creator. And you know what? We knew that. And by the way, I think God used that to prepare our hearts, that beautiful drive, because after you drive through the grandeur of the western states and you go to serve the Lord, let me tell you something. If you can go to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado and the beautiful red rocks of Utah, and you can drive through those canyons and mountains and you can still sit there in your unbelief, God pity you, God help you, because the Bible says that, yeah, that creation is the evidence of a Creator. And all around we saw the fingerprints and the handprints of God. God was right there at my right hand, all through Utah, all through Arizona, for the entire weekend. As we left and drove into New Mexico, in Texas, to be honest with you, I was a little surprised to find that God was in Texas, but he was there. I've met a lot of people from Texas. I didn't think God was there, but he was. And then Oklahoma, as we drove through there and we saw the hand of God. And then as we went into Missouri and tried to leave Missouri and decided we'd just stop right between Missouri and Illinois for a short break and on the bridge as the bus broke down. And guess what? We reached out and God was there. And in Illinois, God was there. And in Indiana, aren't you glad God's here? What are you saying? I'm saying this, folks. Listen to me. God's at hand. Let's rejoice. The Lord is at hand. Let's rejoice. You know what? He's here today. He's in our midst. He made a promise. where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. He deserves to see his children happy. He deserves to hear us rejoice. Good night. Away with the grumbling. Away with the murmuring. Away with the complaining. Away with the criticizing. Away with the negativity. Come on. We're children of God. The Lord is at hand. My Bible says this: make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Into his courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generation. You know what? The countenance of a Christian ought to be a good billboard, a good advertisement for the goodness and grace of Almighty God. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. The Lord is at hand. Let us rejoice. I think God deserves to hear joyful sounds come from his children. God likes to hear his people laugh. Sometimes I'll get criticized for having too much fun in church. Folks, we're Baptists. There ain't nothing we can do in the world. I mean, everything's bad. Everything's wrong. If we don't have fun here, we won't have fun anywhere, you know. I believe a happy Christian is a great testimony for the Lord. Laughter comes from a joyful heart. By the way, a joyful, merry heart increases and adds to good health. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Proverbs 15:13. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're not only blessing the Lord when you enjoy life and learn to laugh. Hey, listen, see the lighter side. Come on. Stop taking everything so serious. Stop taking yourself so serious. Hey, you might as well laugh at yourself. Everybody else is. Might as well just join in. Get the chip off your shoulder. Enjoy life. Laughter and positive statements. I think God loves to hear positive statements. I think he likes to hear his people encouraging each other. I think he loves to hear us sing praises to God. Folks, listen to me. Complaining is the opposite of praising. Complaining is you saying, God has not been good to me. God has not been fair to me. What a wicked accusation to bring before God. Listen, anything this side of hell is a blessing. You know, I mean that. Every single one of us ought to be burning in a devil's hell right now because of our sin. I believe this, and I can back it by scripture. Complaining and murmuring angers the Lord and brings direct judgment into a Christian's life. And you know what? He should never hear it from one of his children. He should never hear it from one of his children. The Lord is at hand, so let us rejoice. Number two, the Lord is at hand, so let us exercise restraint. I'm going to spend a little time here. Isn't it interesting that the statement right before, the reminder, the declaration of the presence of God, the nearness of God, the fact that God is in control, the fact that God's, Jesus Christ, his return is imminent. Watch this. Isn't it interesting that in verse number 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, this is something we do, folks, as a testimony to this world. Christians ought to be different. Christians ought to do some things for their testimony's sake and for the sake of the testimony of the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men. I believe we ought to practice moderation. What does that mean, preacher? It means restraint. Let us practice restraint. Let us practice moderation. Let us live, watch this, conservatively. Let us exercise restraint. We do this as a good testimony to those around us. Let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, provide before men an example of Christian conservatism, of godly restraint. See, moderation is the opposite, watch this, of excess. Moderation is the opposite of excess. Moderation is the avoidance of excess. Now listen to me very carefully. This is important. In no area of our lives should we be given over to excess. Now think about that. The world needs to hear this, and Christians for sure need to hear this. The word excess is found 4 times in the New Testament. I believe it's a warning to each and every one of us. Matthew 23, verse 25, Jesus said this to the Pharisees, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. You know what excess is? Excess is a want or lack of self-restraint. Now watch this. There's a truth here. Moderation is first practiced within you, inside of you, in your mind, in your heart. You see, excess becomes out of us because it starts in us. And you know what the Pharisees' problems were? On the outside, they tried to look a moderate, but on the inside, they were given over to excess. There was no self-restraint. There was no self-control. Man, if we need a revival of anything in America, it's self-restraint and self-control. Jesus said this when he was recruiting disciples. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, number one, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know what moderation is? Moderation is saying no to yourself. It's when the flesh wants to do what it should not do and yet you restrain it. Are you listening to me, church? Well, I couldn't help it. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We need to say no to the flesh and say it often and say it loud and clear to the flesh. The old flesh wants to live in excess. The old flesh doesn't want any restraint. It doesn't want any restrictions. It don't want any thou shalts and thou shalt not. And we have a church, a satanic, a counterfeit church that is the contemporary church that is telling people that there are no absolutes and there are no restraints and there are no thou shalts and thou shalt nots, and they pervert the precious idea of grace and use it for their lasciviousness. Listen to me, folks. Watch this. We need to exercise restraint. Why? Because the Lord is at my right hand. There was a little boy that we took out to breakfast here during our awards time at our Christian school. And one of the things that they worked for in their Bible quizzing was if they got to be the top three or six, I think, in the Bible quizzing, then me and my wife would take them out to Stoll's. Well, one of the boys, little boys, won this. And boy, we prayed. And we took them on a Friday because the Bible says that we're to buffet our bodies daily. And so we took them on a Friday because that's when they have the breakfast buffet. And isn't that what Paul said? I buffet my, something like that anyway. And so this little boy, as soon as I said amen, by the time I said amen and could look up, he had grabbed his plate and dashed off to the line. And by the time I got up and got over there and got organized and got the other kids in line, he was already coming back. Now, there was a reason that he wanted to get there quickly, because he'd already made up his mind what he wanted to get. And if Pastor Jerry would have been at hand, he would not have been allowed to do what he wanted to do. And so he went over to the buffet. And I mean, we've got biscuits, and we've got gravy, and we've got scrambled eggs, and we've got sausages, and fresh biscuits and bread and all this stuff. What's this boy do with all that big lay of food in front of him? He goes over to where there's the bacon, and he fills his entire plate up with a mountain of bacon. He was given over to excess when it comes to bacon, which I really at first wasn't much bothered by, because I believe bacon should be the fifth food group, I mean, but here he came with his plate of bacon, and he's got this big smile on his face. He's walking by me, and I looked down, and I said, "No, wait a minute." I said, "You know what the rule is? I always tell you young people, I don't care what you get, but what you get, you eat." And so he sat down there and commenced trying to devour an entire plate of bacon. And so that is given over to excess. Now, why was he in such a hurry to get to the line before anybody, the teacher, or the principal, or the administrator, or anybody? Why was he? You know why? Because had I been standing there, he would not have done it. Listen to me. Had I been standing there, he would not have done it. Why else would he rush ahead? Why did he not? Listen, folks, you know what we forget? You can't run fast enough to get away from God. I don't care where you are, the Lord is at hand. And you know what? About the time we want to be given over to excess in some area of our life, start to do it. If I'd have been standing there, let me tell you, I know human nature and I know kids. I've worked with them for a lot of years. He'd have went over there, if I was right beside him, he'd went over there and he'd have grabbed a big thing of it and then he'd have done this and looked up at me. And I'd have looked at him, and he'd have probably shook a few loose, and then he'd have looked at me, and I'd have looked at him, and then he'd have shook a few more loose, and I'd have went, all right. And then he'd, and you know what we need to do? Watch this. You know what we need to do? Every area of our life, we need to, before we partake of something, we need to look over at God and make sure we get his nod. Make sure he gets his approval. And you know what he's going to do sometimes? Come on now. Through the still small voice of his Holy Spirit, he's going to say, you don't need all that. You don't need all that. It, listen, folks, I believe that as never before, we need to practice moderation, and it ought to begin inside of us. They were on the outside. They appeared holy, but they were full of extortion and excess. Where's the other words? Where are the other places in the Bible that excess is found? Excess is first practiced in the mind. Number two, moderation is first practiced in the mind. Number two, moderation is next practiced concerning our appetites. Philippians 5, verse number 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you will, go over to 1 Peter chapter 5 or chapter 4. I want you to see this verse, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 3. Moderation is next practice in our appetites. It's what our flesh longs for. Listen, folks, a lot of what the flesh wants, we're to deny the flesh. Nothing should be given over to excess. Watch this. Self-restraint and self-discipline should be practiced in all areas of life by the Christian. The world's going hog wild. They believe that we ought to everybody ought to just let loose. They're consumed with excess, and it's destroying our culture. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. The time past of our life is talking about before we were saved. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust. Watch this. Excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Boy, this is a whole sermon in itself. But watch this, folks. Listen. You know what? Excess of four things. Not one thing. The next four things. Excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. That's a picture of this culture. They're a nation given over to drunkenness. It's talking about physical appetite, longing for drink. We are a nation of alcoholics. God help us. I believe that the river of booze runs down the main streets of small town as well as big city. We're given over to it. Moderation is practicing your appetites. What about revelings? Means to carouse. Literally, if you looked into the Greek definition, it means a letting loose, to untie, unrestrained, just go crazy. And that's the way the world wants you to live your life. And that's the way that the rock music, that's the message of the rock music cloud and the country music crowd is, you know what, just go out and go hog wild. Wait a minute. God says as Christians, we're to practice moderation. We're to practice restraint. There's certain things we ought not to do. There's certain places we ought not to go. We ought to be in control of our flesh, not let our flesh run wild. In banquetings, by the way, the overindulgence of fleshly appetites. It's not just wrong to be a drunkard and drink too much booze. It's wrong to be a glutton and eat too much food. Banqueting has become the theme of America. I can't believe as we went to the different restaurants, and the average restaurant, the amount of food that they bring, when you order something, honestly, I have seen meals where my wife had brought the same amount of food and set it in the middle of our table to feed me, her, and our three little girls before. Look right up here. And you know what we do as America? The more they'll bring us, the more we'll consume. And you know what? You go to the gas station, you want to buy or McDonald's or something. Listen, folks, you better say small drink, because the large, I didn't realize how big the large was anymore. And then they have an extra large that I found out is basically a 5-gallon bucket with ice in it and pop and a PVC pipe to drink it out of. I mean, you look, go to McDonald's and say, show me your extra large glass and look at that. And folks, listen to me. Good night. You're sitting there drinking 2 liters. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. That's what the world's duping us into. Okay, listen. Well, you know what? Mom and Dad said I could have it. All right, maybe they did, but you ought to maybe sometimes just practice voluntary restraint. You know what, folks? There comes a point in time where God, listen, you may not think this is a big deal, but how can God trust you with responsibility in His kingdom and responsibility in ministry if you can't say no to your flesh? And the honest truth is, if you can't say no to that area of your flesh, you're probably in trouble saying no to other areas of your flesh. Now, here's the thing. You know what? Just push away. Just back off. Share something. Cut back. I'm not for crazy diets. I'm not for all the insanity that's going on out there. What I am for is moderation. And the honest truth is, my dad, I'll share this testimony. I know this. You may say, preacher, you're tiptoeing around some things. Well, let me just tiptoe around it, and you come with this on this trip with me, okay? But listen to me. The honest truth is, my dad went to a doctor, and he was having serious, serious health issues. And the reason was is because he was quite a bit overweight. My dad's built on a big frame. He was built on a big frame. He had that Ross frame, okay? David's got it. I got the Ogle frame. Look at this. David's got the Ross frame, man. Bobby's somewhere in between, I think. I don't know where he's at. But watch this. And my dad, and he started having a lot of health problems. And the doctor looked at him and said, preacher, he had a good doctor, didn't he? He said, preacher, he said, I want you to imagine something. He said, I want you to imagine every morning when you wake up, you go to put your feet on the floor, that before you stand up, you take a 50-pound bag of, and he knew my dad was a country boy. You took a 50-pound bag of hog feed and you throw it on this shoulder, and a 50-pound bag of hog feed and throw it on this shoulder, and then you stand up. And everything you go to do all through the day, you carry it, and you can't lay it down one time. He said, what do you think you'd do with that do to your health after a while? And you know what? It made sense to a country boy. And you know what my dad said? You know what he told me? He said he started disciplining that area of his life, started losing weight. And I asked him, I said, Dad, how'd you lose so much weight? And he said, you know what? Just smaller portions. Just smaller portions. Decided I didn't need sweet tea anymore. Cut back on the dessert. He didn't go on some crazy diet. You know what he did? He obeyed the Bible. Now, folks, listen to me. This isn't just talking about food. This is talking about every fleshly appetite that you have. There ought to be a measure of restraint in every fleshly appetite you have. Do you understand it? Whether they are blessed of the Lord, legal or illegal, even within the bounds of right, there ought to be restraint. We've got a world gone hog wide there. I hope that helps you. Abominable idolatries. Now think about that. I want you to get this. This is good. This may be the reason you came, this one verse here. Why do we need moderation? Excess of wine, excess of revelings. Young people, listen to me. I want you to have a good time, but I don't ever want you to go out and go hog wild. You can have a good time as a Christian and still live within the boundaries of restraint. Some of you think you've never experienced life because you haven't gone out and just gone crazy buck wild with this world. You know why you should not do that, never should do that? Because the Lord is at hand. Because the Lord is at hand. Hey, I expect the lost world to act that way, but the Lord's at hand. He's right here. Come on, reach out every once in a while and do this. When you're tempted to do something you ought not to do, just reach out there. I'm glad He's there. You were all say, hey, praise the Lord, He was with you on the trip. Well, He's with us when we're home too. He's with you during the, watch this, of all of the temptations you'll face this summer, He's with you. He's right there. And you know what? Every once in a while, I reach out just to know He's there because I need encouragement. Sometimes I reach out there because, you know what? I need to be restrained. And I need to take a glance up to my God, and I need to say, Lord, is this something that, as one of your children, I should even be participating in? Or how far? And how? And you know what? God, if you'll listen to Him, He'll teach you to live in moderation. Okay? What about this last one? We have excess of wine, excess of revelings, excess of banquetings. What's abominable idolatries? Wow. You say, preacher, we're not a nation of idol worshipers. Well, why is American Idol one of the most popular shows on TV? Of course we are. Of course we are. By the way, you know what this is? Now, I want you to get the phrasing here. You know what a good, accurate definition is of abominable idolatries? Stay with me. Image worshiping. Image worshiping. Now, what we think of as an image, we want to say, oh, well, that's talking about bowing down to a molten image or a carved image. Folks, listen to me. In America, one of the greatest sins is an excess of image worshiping. I can help you. I'm going to try to help you right now. I'll do the best I can. But some of you are more concerned about producing and constructing the facade of an image than you are actually developing godly character. That's why there's this infatuation with the exterior. Stay with me. I think you ought to take care of yourself. And I think, you know what? The old preacher said, hey, ladies, if the barn needs paint and paint it, and that's all right. I got all that. But listen to me. If you're not careful, you will do this in excess. Okay, there's a difference between taking care of yourself, practicing personal hygiene, and dressing and grooming yourself in such a way so that you are a good testimony for the Lord, and just becoming infatuated with the exterior. Now, listen, I want to challenge all you young ladies and some of you young men, because some of you young men are worse than the young ladies when it comes to this. Now, listen to me. For every minute that you stand there prepping and primping, and I learned on this trip that people curl their eyelashes. I had no idea that was going on. I had no idea that there was a tool that allows you to curl your eyelashes. They tried to get me to use it, and I said, I'm not giving over to excess. I'm practicing moderation. My eyelashes are exactly the way God made them, and I'm leaving them alone. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not going down that path, brother. I mean, I don't know what's in the next door after that, but it's not good. I can tell you that. But I want to help you something. Listen, young ladies, listen to me. You're not the first girl that began to blossom in life. A whole bunch of people have blossomed. And you know what? You need to be careful. You need to practice some moderation. Okay? There's a reason the Bible talks about modesty. After that, it talks about not giving over to pearls and all that. Listen, there's way too much accessories. Get mad at me. Way too much decoration. Way too much painting and primping and coloring and curling. And I don't care what you do, but listen, if that has become, here's what I say. And dads, this is a good way to handle it. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to time you from the time you get up and the amount of time it takes you to physically get ready. And whatever time that is, you ought to spend that exact same amount of time working on your inside spiritually. You spend an hour and a half getting ready and you won't crack a Bible open and read a verse? You're giving over to excess. You are. You know what you've convinced yourself? You know what the devil's convinced you of? The way you look on the outside is more important than what you are on the inside. Now, I'm all for getting ready. Please do. All right. But I'm just saying, if you're going to spend an hour and a half primping, maybe you ought to spend an hour and a half in prayer and Bible reading. And it goes with the guys, too. I mean, all of us, man. That's why I get ready fast. I don't want to have to read the Bible very much. So I just let's get ready as fast as I can. I only have to read about three verses, you know. I'm doing good. But I'm, hey, are you getting this? I'm trying to keep it light. But I'm just saying, image worshiping. You know what? Stay away from those stupid magazines. I'm trying to help you. You know what? You're worshiping images. You're trying to reproduce something that's not even real. Good night. Those pictures have been doctored and computer altered, and those people don't even exist. All right? And yet you're trying to become that. Stop it. That's the world standard. Don't be given over to excess. You know what? Modesty doesn't just talk about dressing. Modesty. Think about the word modesty. If you said this, see, that's got a there's two meanings there, and a lot of times people only get one of them. Yeah, modesty doesn't mean to dress. It means not to be overtly sexual in your dress. But you know what it also means? If I said, Brother Tommy lives in a modest home, you know what you would think? You would think he did not live in an extravagant home. And when if I said you're modestly attired, you know what that means? You stay away from extravagance. Okay? And so you know what? Simple is pretty. All right? With makeup and stuff, man, I can't believe I'm teaching this stuff, but it's good. With makeup and stuff, watch this, less is more. Okay, and some of you girls that first finally get to the age where you can use makeup, and oh my gosh. You walk around here looking like raccoons. got so much black goop on your eyes and so much blush. And I mean, I don't know. Your lips are scaring everybody when you walk by. And just, and it seems like they all got to go through that where I finally got it, you know. And all right, if you got to go through it, go through it. But moms, dads at some point say, hey, come here. Okay, go get the electric sander and take some of that off, all right? Get the power washer. One of the funnest parts of the trip was watching these girls after we went whitewater rafting. They got mascara and stuff just running down their face. Man, that was fun! I'm like, there's something more fun right now going on. Listen, don't parents, don't you be mean to these kids, and church members, don't you be mean to these kids. You know what? I'm glad that they take time. I want them to look nice. I'm glad that they do, but just be careful of excess. Because next thing you know, something that is fine and right within certain boundaries becomes the focal point of your life, and it shouldn't be the focal point of your life. Okay. I hope that you understood that. It came from my heart, okay? All righty. Moderation is next practiced in your appetites, and thirdly, it's practiced in your behavior. 1 Peter 4:4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. A simple, conservative, faithful, reliable lifestyle may not impress the world, but it impresses your Creator. Let your testimony be one of moderation. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. That's what the Bible says. The Lord's at hand. And so let us rejoice. The Lord is at hand. So let us exercise restraint. And our closing thought, the Lord is at hand, so let us pray about everything. God is here. God is here in this place. But Jesus promised this, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And so God will be with you if you're a Christian as you leave this place. And you know what? You ought to take in account the presence of God in every decision of everything that you're involved with. Every place that you go, you ought to think, is this a place that Jesus would go? By the way, if you go, he's going. You're taking him with you. Is this the place the Holy Spirit would go? By the way, you're taking him with you. Is this a place that God on his throne would look down and be pleased that his son is going to? Every place that I go, every activity I'm involved in, everything that I say, everything that I watch, everything that I listen to, the list is long. Folks, listen to me. Be careful and let moderation dictate your behavior. And while you're doing that, remember this, the Lord is at hand. You can ask him anything. You can ask him anything. We left Missouri. We left Missouri, or tried to leave Missouri on the way home. By the way, thank God. That bus could have broke down in one little long stretch. Come on, those of you that have driven out west, that could have broke down when we were 200 or 300 miles away from anything. I mean, there's stretches out there that are just almost uninhabitable. And we were leaving the motel We were leaving the motel, and we stayed 6 blocks from the arch right downtown. So we went and got right on the Martin Luther King Bridge, and as soon as we got on there, construction, you know, there's 2 seasons, winter and construction. And so it went to 1 lane, and we got right almost to the exact middle point of the bridge, and the bus started cutting out and died. I mean died. And I mean we're 1 lane, cars behind us blocking the entire bridge. And there we are, and it's hot. Yesterday in St. Louis, I don't know what it was here, but it was hot and it was humid. We've not only got young people on the bus, we've got children, the Morris's children, and even 2, a newborn baby and a baby that's not even 2 years old. And it's getting hot quick on that bus. And I talked to Brother Brian. Here's the neat part. I'm talking to Brother Brian up here, and I'm trying to ask him what I can do, and we're listening, we're trying to get started. And I noticed the entire back of the bus has gotten dead quiet. So I glanced back to make sure everybody's all right. And every single person on that bus just bowed their head. They didn't panic. They didn't scream. They didn't go, you know what they did? They just bowed their head. Brother Levi was leading them in a word of prayer. And then I think some of the others began to pray and just ask God. You know, folks, listen to me. I don't know what's going on in your life. But there's never a time that you cannot just bow your head and say, Lord, I need your help right now. We need an answer right now. I look back and watch them pray. I told Brother Brian, I'm going to go back and take a peek into the engine. And I step out of the bus, and before I could walk to the back, here comes 2 emergency. We haven't made a call yet. We have, here's two emergency vehicles coming up the ramp behind us. And there was two or three cars that had got stopped behind us. They had them back out. They brought the big giant wrecker with the rubber thing on the front. They pushed our bus over to the next accident a mile and a half away, got the kids out of there, got them in a nice air-conditioned truck stop that had restaurants and everything where they can, people there were so gracious to our kids. And I went and seen the manager right away, and so we're broke down. They may be in here a while. You just tell your kids to have a good time and sit here and eat, and they can sit there as long as they want. And people were so good. Called on the phone, said, Brother Jack, you and Chad head this way. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I might need you. And thank God for people. He called Brother Daniel Skirhob and Rachel, who happened to be in Cahokia, which is right next to Chicago. And Brother Daniel tells him, we've got a church bus ready to go. We can be there at 30 minutes if you need a church bus. Called a mechanic. He's trying to figure out what it is. Me and Brother Tim are standing at the back of the bus staring at it because that's what we do. And we're talking about how we're both idiots when it comes to this stuff. And I said, I'm worthless. I don't know anything about this. He's like, I don't know anything about it either. I said, if staring at something will fix it, it'll get fixed. We're staring at it, you know. So I go in to get the address so I can call Brother Jack back, tell him where we're at. And all of a sudden, Brother Tim comes in behind me and he says, I think we got it running. Well, what he did, he just kept staring at it and looking at it. And as he was staring at it, looking at it, he noticed that there was this big electrical cable that goes up to where the computer and all the electrical are, and it looked like it was not seated right. So Brother Tim, with no mechanical experience whatsoever, looks at that and goes, reaches up and snaps it into place. He hollers, Brian, I don't know if I just did something or not, but try it. He is now our head mechanic here. By the way, let me share this with you. I think that when we were on the bus and everybody dropped their head and began to pray, I think God just said, don't worry, I'm right here. I got it. I got this. I texted all the parents right away to let them know what was going on before we even got to the pilot station. We'd text them, and I know that blessed old people began to pray. And I know heaven was being bombarded. He'd say, preacher, were you worried? Listen to me, watch this. I've done this too long to be worried. I'm just telling you. Am I concerned? I'm going to make sure the kids are taken care of? Absolutely. Am I worried? Nah. We got that pilot station. It took us 2.5 hours before Brother Tim figured out what to plug in. Had to wait for a mechanic. The mechanic shows up. He's hooking his laptop up so he can figure out everything that's going on. And snap, he fixes the thing. And still cost us $100. But anyway, I think they should have paid him $100. But watch this. I want to help you with something. Say, preacher, what was that about? I know this. Every truck driver that walked in that station for 2.5 hours, Brother Abel, one of our kids, one of our chaperones, were handing them the gospel. I know everybody that worked in that place got the gospel. I know those emergency vehicle guys, when they got out, Brother Tim got them a grace to lead me home. And he recognized just by the way they were organizing stuff. He said, these are military guys. And by the way, they said that. He said, everybody that works on these rescue crews, on our crew, is military, ex-military. He went and showed him a grace to lead me home, every one. Say, you know what? God's got a plan better than mine. He knows what's going on. Hey, we got our plan, and we've got what we want to accomplish. But folks, if something comes in the way and interrupts your plan, it's, hey, God's still there. Trust him. Trust him. Pray to him. Ask him for help. He's there. He's there every single day. So listen to me, folks. Let's not forget the Lord is at hand. Let's rejoice. The Lord is at hand. Let's practice restraint. The Lord is at hand. Let's pray about everything. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, ask, Lord, your help, please. And Lord, it's not easy living this life in this crazy upside down world. But I would pray, Lord, that you would help us in the midst of all of the confusion and wickedness and sinfulness and rioting and excess, dear God. Help us just to remember that you are at our right hand. You're always there. You're always near. Lord, thank you for being here. Thank you for being near. And Lord, may in our hearts you always be dear. Help us to reach out from time to time. Just remind ourselves God's here. Thank you, God, for being here. Lord, I pray as a result of that, you'd keep a smile on our face. Keep us in a rejoicing mode. Help us, dear God, when our flesh wants to step outside the boundaries of restraint and moderation and right, that you would just gently remind us, you know what, the Lord's at hand. I pray, dear God, that you would help us always, Lord, to just be very comfortable with talking with you and to you at any time about anything, because you're always there. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to just relax into this notion and the peace of God. May we embrace the peace of God that comes with a life lived knowingly in the presence of Almighty God. God's here. Why should I fear men? God's here. Why should I fear tomorrow? God's here. Why should I fear what's happening in our nation, our state, in our community? God's here. The Lord is at hand. May we take courage. There's someone here. Without Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, I pray, dear God, that they would become a part of the family of God so that they too can say the Lord is at hand.